Yeah, so today we will be going and walking through the series that we've been in, which is the series over the church. And we've talked a lot about different questions that we might ask ourselves about the church and the best way to go about explaining or answering those questions. So throughout the series, we've talked about, what questions, what is the church? We've talked about how questions, how can the church go about living our lives for Jesus? How are we empowered to do that, and what does that look like? We've talked about last week where we should find the church, and this week we're going to talk a little bit about why. Why does the church exist? Why does God use us? And why should we be the church? Why should we have a desire to live our lives out as the church? So if you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. And if you had the music lyric sheet, if you scan the QR code in the back, if not, you can go to connection.family. And it'll pull up a link tree. And if you go to Sunday worship, it's the top button. You'll see all the lyrics. And if you scroll past those, you'll have the passages of scripture that we'll be in today. Feel free, if you brought your Bible and you'd like to be in a physical Bible, or if you want to be in your own version of scripture, feel free to do that. But we do have those there for you, connection.family, just to make it easy so that you can look at the scripture with us if you so choose. Why is actually my favorite question we have asked about the church so far. And I think it's just because I've been inundated with that question for the past 7 years. So Colby's seven now, and then we have two other children. And so often throughout the day, I get the question, why? Why? Now, I get the other questions too, right? I get the what and the how and the where and whatever. But the one that gets asked most often, by far, it's not even close, is why? And it's because we innately have this desire as humans to understand what's behind the decision making, to understand what's behind this thing that we're following, this instruction that we're supposed to follow. If I tell my kids, hey, you need to stop throwing that in the apartment, their first question is, why? To which, if I have time, I try to explain it to them, or I just go with the old fashioned because I said so. I try not to do that too much, because when my parents did that, it really got on my nerves, because I actually wanted to know why. So often what we go with now is, hey, obey first, and then we'll explain why afterward. So that's what we try to do. But yeah, there's just something in us as humans that we just want to know why things are the way that they are. We need this deeper understanding. We need this explanation. And when we answer the question why, we're really taking it kind of a step further than when you answer questions like what, where, and how. Because you're really trying to get at the intention of something. And unless it's just explicitly stated, you kind of have to use data that you've collected from answering those other questions to come up with this compilation of, oh, this is the answer. This must be why, because we know these things are true. And so I really like the question why, because it gets at the intention of things, and it gives us a deeper understanding of what we're dealing with. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 22. Often when I have the question why, I want my reflex to be to go to scripture to get that answer. It's so easy for us to be like, oh, I think I know why, but it's difficult for us to rest in the truth of scripture. So let's do that this morning. Starting in verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord. So the first question that we'll answer today is, why does the church exist? So if you're taking notes, we're answering the question, why does the church exist? And we can answer this a couple of different ways, but I think the one that is probably all-encompassing of why the church exists is this. The church exists to be an anchor for our faith. The church exists to be an anchor for our faith. So there's this natural inclination, it's the same that we have to ask why. Why? The natural inclination for humans is to drift away from God. When we have our human nature, we have this brokenness about us that tends to pull away from who God is and what he's calling us to be. And when we look at this scripture, we see that really God has created the church to be an anchor for this hope. It says that Jesus has sprinkled clean our evil conscience and washed our bodies with pure water. But this only continues if we proactively hold fast to the hope of our faith, if we rest in Jesus, and if we allow him to continually do this and sanctify us throughout our life. This is what allows us to have an anchor in our faith. Because when we think about life, it's often like a huge tug of war, isn't it? Often we feel like we're being pulled. Satan and the world kind of tugs constantly on our broken heart strings, right? And it's these things that we know what God has called us to do. We know what God wants from us, but we also know what we want to do. And we also know what we think is right. And sometimes these aren't even completely in contrast to each other. You might want something that is God honoring, but it's not necessarily what God wants for you in that moment. Right? A lot of times we think about, oh, if I'm following Jesus, then I'm just always going to want what he wants. And to a certain extent, that's true. But we can get kind of caught up in this moment where we want something that's God-honoring, but it's not what God is asking of us in that moment. And so it's this tug of war, and Satan is cunning, right? If we've matured to a point where he's like, okay, well, obviously Austin knows that he shouldn't be beating people up on the street. Now what can I get him to do? Oh, maybe I tell Austin that he needs to make X amount of dollars per year so that he can purchase property to let pastors stay at during the year as a form of respite, as a form of rest. If you don't know, that's something that I've prayed about doing. That's something that I would like to do. It's also something that sometimes my decision-making gets caught up in doing. I'm not even completely sure if that's what God wants for me. I know it's God-honoring, but do I know for certain that God has called me to do that specific thing? I don't. And so we're constantly tugging back and forth. And what is the church's role in that? It's why the church exists, right? The church exists to be this anchor of truth. And so while you have Satan and the world and your own desires kind of on this other side of the rope, and it's pulling you and pulling you away from God, the church is meant to be the anchor on the other side. The church joins in on your side of the rope and helps pull you back to where God is, to where God has called you to be. So the church exists to be an anchor for our faith. Another reason the church exists is to stir up one another to love and good works. It's so easy to come to church on Sunday and to tell everyone you know that you're a Christian, and it's kind of get into this, you know, routine of just going through the day to day and just not being incredibly encouraged to go out and make an impact and a difference for the Lord in your neighborhood, in your community, at your job. It's easy to just get caught up in the mundane, day-to-day, monotonous routine and not feel stirred up and not feel encouraged and not feel equipped to go out and make an impact for the Lord. And that's another reason the church exists, is to do that. It exists to stir up one another to love and good works. It exists to encourage one another. And ultimately, the church exists to keep us in a close relationship with God. Now, it's kind of it's a two-sided coin here, right? The church can't create a relationship for you as an individual. You individually have to come to church. You have to be in quiet time. You have to seek God individually. But the thing that helps you continue to do that is encouragement from the church. The church is the thing that when you start to feel tired and you start to feel like, man, I'm running this race and it's really, really difficult. The church is the thing that we can come back and rest in, and the church is the thing that anchors us on that side of the rope, that helps encourage us and stir us to good works and say, you know what? You can do this. Let's run this race together. The church is our community that helps us to do that. If you would look in Ephesians chapter 5, also starting in verse 22, another question we might ask ourselves is not only why does the church exist, but we might ask ourselves, why is the church set up the way that it's set up? Why does God choose to use us to be the church? Why does he use individuals? Why does he use humans to be the church? Because we know a church can be a building that you meet in, but God's church, the body of Christ, is the people that make up the church, right? We talked about that a little bit last week. So why does God use us? In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, we read, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." In verse 24, "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. This is the word of the Lord. God uses us as the church because he desires to have a deep relationship with us. God uses humans to carry out his mission because he desires to be in this sacrificial relationship with us. Much like the type of relationship that we find in a marriage. Scripture calls wives to submit to their husbands, but yet it calls husbands to love their wives as Jesus loved the church. And Jesus loves the church so much that he actually died for the church. And so it's not saying, wives, do everything your husband says because he knows what's best, right? It's not saying that. It's saying wives submit to husbands and husbands submit to your wives even more. Submit to your wives to the point that Jesus submitted his entire life. And it's through this sacrificial, this mutual sacrificial relationship that we actually come to a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. When we're trying as hard as we possibly can to sacrifice for the Lord and live for him, allowing the Holy Spirit to equip us and allowing our church to walk beside us, that's the reason that God has called humans to be the church, so that we can be in this relationship with him. It's also a lot like parents sacrifice to provide for their children, and then there's a sacrifice from the child to obey. And through this relationship, through this, oftentimes the world will call like a relationship, it's a give and take, right? Have you guys heard that? Like, oh, relationship is give and take, give and take. But a biblical relationship is give and give. You can't take something from someone that they've already given you. And so what Scripture is calling us to do is live in this relationship, in this give and give relationship, where Jesus has given us everything that we could possibly imagine. He's given us life. He's given us life abundant so that we can live more than what we could ever do on our own. And the reason that God allows us to be the church is so that we can step into those sacrificial shoes as well. Not that we'll ever sacrifice as much as Jesus did, but so that we can more fully understand his mission. He allows us to be a part of it, so that we can be in this relationship where we're actually giving something to the Lord. Not because he needs it, but because we need it. God calls us to be the church to give to him, not because he needs us to give to him, but because we need to give to him, so that we can better understand who he is and what he's called us to do as the church. God desires this relationship so much, right, that he sent his son to die on the cross so that we can be in this sacrificial relationship. And it's not just so that he can be with us. That is a huge reason. But it's also because he seeks to provide insight and meaning to us through these shared experiences, sacrificing with our church body. I shared a couple of weeks ago and how the Lord equips us, right? That he calls us into this mission of the church, and he allows the mission of the church to equip us daily. He equips us with the Holy Spirit and by this sacrifice. But we didn't really talk a lot about why. Why he does that. And I shared an example of my dad being a truck driver, and how he would let me like sit in his lap and drive his 18 like wheeler truck, something I could never do on my own, but with the equipping of my father and his knowledge, I could easily do. And he gave me just as much as I could handle, not too much, a little bit of a challenge, because I really hadn't driven anything at that point. And the first thing I drove was this huge tractor trailer truck. And so we talked about how I was able to do that because he equipped me, but we didn't talk about why he let me do that. The reason my dad let me do that is because he wanted me to understand more about him. He wanted me to understand more about his job and what it took to be a truck driver. He wanted me to understand more about what he did day in and day out to provide for our family. He did it. He let me do it. He equipped me to do it, and he did it for me. He didn't do it for him. He didn't need me to drive the truck. He wasn't learning anything more through this experience. He brought everything to the table, and he just asked that I listen to what he told me to do, and then I would get to drive the truck. That's the same thing that God does for us through his son, Jesus. He equips us, and he calls us to be part of his mission, not because he needs us to be part of his mission, but because we need to be part of his mission, because through that shared experience, we learn more about ourselves and we learn more about who God is and what he's done for us. Jesus sacrificed his life for the church, and now the church sacrifices for Jesus. As we make this sacrifice, we learn more about what it's like to be like Jesus, and God is able to reveal more of himself to us. So the church exists to be an anchor for our faith. Why does God use us? Simply because he wants to reveal more of himself to us. He wants us to have the benefit of being a partner in his mission, right? And then finally, why should we be the church? A lot of times we might ask, well, what's in it for us? What's in it for us? And we talked about that a little bit just now, but let's look a little bit further. If you would, go to John chapter 10, starting in verse 7. And again, on the QR code if you need it. Starting in verse 7, it says, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.' This is the word of the Lord." So Jesus paints this picture in these verses for his followers, that he is the only truly good teacher. He is the only truly good master. Those who came before him, they were thieves and robbers. They came to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus comes on behalf of life. He provides freedom and safety and life, not just any life, but life more abundantly. God chose to use us as the church because it's what's best for us physically, mentally, and spiritually, which is exactly why we should be the church. Sometimes we run into this thought process of, well, God is just saying that's what, you know, whatever's best for us is actually what's best for him. And what's best for him is what's best for us. And that doesn't really translate in our world. A lot of times, if you're doing something that's best for someone else, it's not usually what's also best for you. And so sometimes this message can kind of hit us in the face. And I know I've spent a lot of time in the past thinking like, okay, well, God is asking us to do this thing, but that's really serving him, but it's also serving us. And you can kind of find yourself thinking like, I don't even know what that even means. There's not a lot of situations that are like that on planet Earth. But the truth of the matter and the truth of Scripture is that Jesus provides the best life that we can possibly have. Now, that doesn't mean it's a life without challenge. It doesn't mean it's a life without difficulty. It means it's a life where we can live for something that is eternal. Rather than living for here and now and something that is eventually going to fade away, we can live for something that will always be. We can live for the established kingdom of God that will reign forever and ever and ever. And we do that through his equipping. And here's what's crazy. It's actually what's best for us. We think that it's not. But even in the here and now, we don't have to wait forever and ever. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to see the benefits of what it looks like to live for Jesus. Because in the here and now, when we live for Jesus, we live with purpose. We live with hope and we live with faith. There's not a lot of people that can say that. A lot of people are living for the next moment. They're living for the next moment. And then when they get to that moment, they look around and they say, you know what? This is not quite as good as what I thought it would be. Better get to that next moment. But life is really all about the process. And living a life for Jesus allows you to focus on and enjoy and really lift up the process. Because that is what living for Jesus is all about. It's this process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And you can do that every day. You don't have to wait for big moments in life. You can live that life every single day. So now every single thing that you do, not only does it have purpose, it has eternal purpose. And that's the life that is given to us through Jesus. And that's why we should be the church. That's why God calls us to be the church. That's why the church exists, so that we can share that same hope and life and love and faith with those who are around us. So what does that mean for us as a church? I always like to end each message with some type of application. What are we taking from this? Like, hey, that all sounds great, but But what are we going to do about it? And my prayer is this, is that we allow the knowledge of why God desires for us to be the church, which is to deepen our relationship with him. We allow that knowledge to encourage us to fulfill God's desire to the fullest of our ability. And then finally, understanding that the better we follow God, the more challenging our lives are going to be, but the more fulfilling our lives will be also. The more fulfilling our lives will be also. We'll be healthier overall. That's not to say we're going to wake up every day and feel like, man, I'm about to conquer this day. But it means that whatever state that we're in is working toward some sort of goodness, right? The Bible teaches that God is working out all things for our eternal good. So while we may not see those things in the moment, we can trust the process. We can do our best to enjoy the process, and we can lift that process up knowing that that is how that God chooses to work through his people and his church. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word and just the ability to read through scripture and to share these lessons that you have for us. God, thank you for giving us instruction and structure to what our church should look like. And God, thank you for making that instruction so fulfilling. God, thank you for making it what is best for us. God, choosing to use us so that you can share the experience of what it's like to carry out your mission to build your kingdom. God, sometimes it's challenging, sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes we don't understand how we can actually fulfill that role. But God, ultimately it is what is best for us. It's the way that you choose to work through us. It's the way that you choose to build yourself in us. And it's the way that you choose to reveal more and more of yourself to us. So God, I pray that we would boldly step out and join you in the work that you're doing. God, that we would be the church. God, that we would learn from this series that you have spoken to us what the church is and how to go about being the church and where we should be living our lives as the church, God, and ultimately why you want us to be the church. It's so that we can be closer to you and that we can understand you better and we can share that message with others so that they can be closer to you and understand you better. God, it's so humbling to know that you would have us not just be a part of this mission, not just be a part of your church, but God, we are the church. We are plan A. We're the only plan, and you choose to do that through us. And so, God, we just thank you so much for allowing us to be part of your work. God, I pray that as we move into this time of response, that this truth would be transformative in our lives. God, that you would use this time that we've spent worshiping you, Lord, to just change who we are inside and out and continue to make us look more and more like your son. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.